go to the Word Radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 2. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And sometimes the king, you know, his new clothes, the king in the new clothes thing, he's walking around, you know, in his skivvies, as it were, and nobody's saying anything. Well, there's a time for that, but you don't lead with that. You don't go and tell them, you know, about that big thing right away. You get under them, you love them, you share with them, try not to be the guy who pushed the boat away from the shore, even though, what? Jude says, we hate even the garments stained with the sin, right? You don't want to get any on you, but we've got to be realizing that some people are literally in a state of insanity, spiritually speaking. They have no idea. And we need to love on them as best we can. And you're not perfect, but you have to kind of go to the mirror and say, yeah, God, I'm a patriot. I hate what this is doing to my country. I know we're all in the same boat and somebody over here is drilling holes in the bottom of it. And we're going to go down because they're doing that. But I just need to say, hey, you know, maybe a little distraction. Are you thirsty? Can I give you a drink of water? You know, maybe I can get you quit screwing into the bottom of this boat because that ain't going to work for us. We're all going to be impoverished by it. Guys, listen. This is not easy. It's not a message that Jesus candy-coated. Take up your cross daily, follow me. It's not convenient. It doesn't convene. They're doing what's coming naturally. And what is natural is to look out for me, mine, and my own. Right? It's what is natural. It's very natural for you to fold in, to get your stuff, to get greedy. Have you ever gotten something that was like really a good deal and you just were so excited about it, you enjoyed it, maybe with some good meal or food or something? The whole idea is you get it and then you want to get back and get some more. You go back to that same place 10 times after it's gone because you think maybe they got some more now, you know? And I'm just saying, it's easy to do that. And it's not wrong to enjoy those little things, but it is something that we need to appreciate, that when you're coming up in this world and you're untethered from God's Word and a good family and all of the confines of some kind of clarity of what's right and wrong, if you come up without that, you're going to feel like the way the world pressed you into its mold was, get it, get more, and put some in the shed out back because you can get more. It's a very carnal, down-to-earth kind of thing. If we get caught up, I remember having witnessed it among people who came through the Great Depression. They began to hoard things. Maybe you remember this. Grandma always had more things, you know, and why do you need that? Well, you never know, you know. I got all kinds of stuff. And we have to be careful. Patriotism can eclipse our Christianity. It's not uncommon. Even the apostles were struggling, right? When the time came for them to open the door to Cornelius. Kill and eat. All these unclean things. Lord, I've never eaten anything unclean. Don't call unclean what I've called clean. Go to this man's Cornelius' house. That's what it was, the picture. He was giving him a little primer, and then he got him there, and those people got saved. Thank God they got saved, because that was the first ones of among the Gentiles that got born again and got the Holy Spirit. We had the door open to us, but it was not without that hitch that comes from patriotism, a very natural, instinctive, and what you might call sometimes illogical when you think spiritually kind of a situation. Not only were they instinctive and illogical, these brute beasts, but they were also beasts. The word for beast is zoe, we get the word zoo from it. It literally has the idea that needs to be contrasted with bios. You remember biology, the study of life, living things. It can be anything from a plant to an animal to a person, whatever. It's all bios. But zoe has more of a understanding of things that are mammalian, if you will. In the New Testament, you have a word therion, I think it is. It's a word that means beast in the book of Revelation. You know, the beast out of the sea. It was a devouring beast, okay? Zoe, it's connected with the idea of life. And not only life, but intelligent life, be it as it may, whatever level that would be. Somebody has distinguished between an animal and a human, as animals many times have conscious life, but humans have self-conscious life, and they have God-conscious life, okay? So these are in that category. But the reason they're intelligent is because God made them that way. And it's important that you know that they're intelligent, because there's a point in our time where we're going to have to someday make a decision what we think of this individual who is clearly teaching false doctrine. If they're teaching there is no hell, that's false doctrine. If they're teaching that Jesus didn't raise from the dead, that he simply, it's not necessary. It's just important that he just rose in our hearts. This is a dogma they talk about. It didn't matter if he died, rose from the dead. It does matter if he rose from the dead, all right? Everything hinges upon that. It's the most offensive thing the human, instinctual, illogical person can get their mind around. They're sitting there dealing with Jesus rising from the dead, and it blows away their paradigms. It demonstrates that there is something hereafter. Okay? There is a hereafter when we go in the deep carpet. We either go in the deep carpet by getting on our knees now, going before His throne and confessing and asking Jesus to be our Savior, or we will stand before the Lord at the great white throne and be judged out of the books that He has recorded everything we've ever done. And we will have to be judged according to our works. You say, well, there it is. I believe in works. No. The works that we've done have all been corrupted by sin. And it's not a matter of whether you're going to heaven or hell there. If you're at the great white throne, it's a matter of how deep in hell you're going. How harsh the damnation will be. The Pharisees were told, you, Pharisees, will receive the greater damnation. Okay? Remember that. Because there are grades of damnation. And when people get what we might call racist or sectarian to the point where we begin to look at each other and think we're, you know, holier than thou, better than thou, whatever, we've lost the point. Because we're all sinners. And if we ever forget that, then we're probably not saved. Because that's one of the things God presses on our hearts right away at the gate. Man, you're a sinner, okay? You're a sinner. Woe is me. I am undone. God be merciful to me, the sinner. That's what the publican said next to the Pharisee, who said, I think I'm not like him. The Pharisee, greater damnation. The publican, I'm the sinner. I get it. And you know what's funny is sometimes you have to go and be a great sinner to realize it. And sometimes you don't wake up till you are. And that's why that the harlots and the drunkards and the publicans entered sooner than those religious people of the day. They thought they needed no physician. All of these things resonate with you and me because we know these words are true. We know these are God's words. But for the lost man, he is blind and he cannot see. There is a blindness over his eyes. And if he's instinctual, illogical, that does not mean that he is not intelligent. Because intelligence means that he is responsible for what he has done. Okay? This is why the Pharisees, knowing that they tithe the mint and cumin, and yet forgot the weightier points of the law of mercy and love. They forgot that. They were responsible because they knew what they were doing. They knew they wanted the praise of men. Greetings in the streets. How you doing today? Father. Call no man father. There's a whole group of people who call their ministers father. And the Bible explicitly says, don't do that. So you're looking at these little nuances that are just like big, huge, red, blinking lights saying, no, don't do that. And yet they do it with insolence. You can't have this kind of behavior, listen, intelligent, illogical, instinctual, you can't have it without insolence. You have to run past barriers. You have to run past the bridges outside. You have to do that. Because God tells us in His Word in chapter 1 of Romans, it tells us that we are in fact aware because God has shown us His eternal Godhead. Now, this is a descriptor, okay? Natural brute beasts. That's important because that's who we're talking about. We've changed the name. If you look in the book of Revelation, you see a white horse rider. If you see him from heaven's perspective, he's a beast who came up out of the sea. If you see it from earth's perspective, he's going to look like a white horse rider. Okay, that's just the way it is. That's what's going on here. Peter has gone from false teachers to natural brute beasts. These people know what they're doing. They're implicated, they are insolent, and they are guilty, and will continually go darker. Why? Because God will see to it that they go darker. The more you forge ahead in insolent behavior against the promptings of God's deity, and in a lost condition no less, the more you forge forward, the darker the darkness becomes. The Bible says that they are natural brute beasts. Now look what it says beyond that. Up in verse 12, it starts out, these as natural brute beasts. It says, they are people who speak evil of the things that they understand not. They speak evil of the things that they know not. The word speak evil is one word. It's the word blasphemy. They blaspheme the things that they know not or do not understand. Now, blasphemy doesn't mean they're up there calling God bad names. But if you're teaching that God is like a Santa Claus, you're blaspheming. Because God is absolutely, unequivocally, holy. He is absolute perfection. His holiness leads the unsaved individual, when they hear of Him, hopefully, to shake in their shoes. Because He is the one to whom we must all give an account of ourselves. Responsible, free agents created by Him, knit together, Psalm 139 says, in our mother's wombs, God Himself created us in that womb, and we will stand before Him, and we will give an account of ourselves. And if you are honest, you know you've sinned, you know you've done terrible things at times, you wouldn't want to screen broadcasting the things that you've done in secret, or even thoughts you've had in your own heart. You wouldn't want anybody to know. But the fact is that it almost becomes easy to put on airs as if we're all pretty good folks, when in reality we're all broken. We're all in need of our Savior. We are all in need of our Bibles. We're all in need of the confirmation. He really, really, does He really love me? Does He love me? Because we who know God, our hearts are a lot more tender toward the things that we overstep and do that shouldn't be done. We feel it deeply. It messes with us. We've often talked about that. People who are saved are not people who are perfect, even though they're called saints. We're called saints because God's imputed to us righteousness. He's imputed it. It's an amazing thing because it's like He's the richest person, owner of all things. And He's got absolute, unfathomable righteousness. And He imputes that to you. Wow. Easy to get a little bit heady with that. But then you stumble. Does He still love me? Does He still love me? Yeah, He does. But it's good that you know you sinned. If we confess our sins, which is simply means, the word means literally, say the same thing as God about it. He says if we confess it, He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. What if you go on? Well, the Bible says that if we go on, then we have a fearful looking for a fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary, not us. Because the fact is that we can go on and sin for a moment of insanity. If you want an illustration of Jesus teaching that, He said there was a man who had two sons, and the one said, I want all I got. He got it all, and he went out and squandered it. Some believers do that. They go out and squander it. Guess what they do? They come to the pigsty. And they look at that and say, how did I get here? And what are they? Miserable. If you've ever thought about putting diesel fuel in a gas engine, it just doesn't work. It'll run, but it'll be smoking and sputtering and ruining the engine. And believers sometimes are smoking and sputtering. And that's a good thing. Okay, frankly, it's good that they're chastened because God is not letting them go.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.